going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
Here we go, hour number 2 of 4. Yes, 4 today here on the Hoffman Show as we lead you into our NFL draft coverage tonight. I'd like to think we are your NFL draft coverage. It started. We're here. We are draft all show long. We just completed our final mock draft with the help of Linnell. And coming up in just a little bit, we'll enter the Take Command War Room. I'm going to give Logan 2 players and make him pick between the two. Maybe we'll do a little bit of that right now with our next guest, a man who is one of the most prolific mock drafters in all the land. He's also someone who, of course, you know very well. It's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Ben Standig, Commanders beat reporter for The Athletic, is with us. Ben, happy draft day, my friend.
Yes, thank you. Same to you. Thanks for having me on.
Always our pleasure. Appreciate your time on a busy day. And you, sir, always submit to the mock draft competition in the media, and you have done very well in that contest over the years. Before we get into who you selected for the Commanders and why and who you passed up at that, how do you go about putting together this mock draft every year? What are the things that you look for teams? Who are the kinds of people that you're talking to? Like, what's your process, as much as you can tell us?
Oh, boy. Well, let me think. Obviously, because of covering the NFL, you know, I come into all this pretty late. And I don't, it's important to like look at film and stuff like that, just to like, if you know you're covering the sport, the team, whatever. But I don't look at anything to be like, oh, I think this, you know, this receiver, you know, runs a great in route, or this pass rusher is slow to get off the line. I that doesn't matter for me. What matters is trying to get a feel for like what are the views out there from people who do the public stuff, the private stuff, and figure out where the sort of the consensus commonality kind of things come into play. I'm probably not describing it as accurately, but basically, like, you know, it's studying it enough to ultimately get it where it feels instinctive, I guess, to figure out what's going to happen. And also, like, just try to read between the lines. You know, obviously, as you know, like, so much of what gets put out there publicly is nonsense, not just even because people are like lying about this team has interested in this, or this guy is, you know, he's a rising talent. I mean, you know, it's a lot of agent garbage that some insiders are willing to, you know, carry water and that type of stuff. I mean, I hear some of it too, but I don't necessarily peddle in it. But in my head, I try to use it as, what does this really suggest? Is this something I'm being told that sounds real, or just something that's being, you know, that sounds kind of nonsensical? And look, you know, just in the last 24 hours with mock drafts, even, things change pretty dramatically. Into, you know, a couple guys are not even like mentioned in some national mock drafts who were being touted as top, you know, 15 picks for months because of whatever medical information or other things. So it can change on a dime, and to a certain degree, everybody is largely guessing. And then the last few days, it starts to crystallize a little bit.
I don't know
if what I said made any sense.
No, it does. Basically, the short version of what Ben said is he does enough film work and whatever football stuff on his own so that nobody can BS him, and he collects a lot of information. He's been doing it long enough to be able to sort through it, and then he aggregates that information into a mock draft, which I think is a very smart way to do it. Did I summarize that well enough for you?
Yeah, that was better. That was certainly better than what I was trying to articulate.
It's like you typed a prompt in like ChatGPT, and then I spit out the summarized version for you.
Well, also, you know how like it's sometimes easier to give advice to somebody else when you're just hearing it versus your own situation because you live it every minute.
Yes,
it's like that. Like I get in deep, but not so deep that like I can't see the forest through the trees anymore. Like I do a little bit maybe with Washington because that's obviously what I think about. But in general, it's like, no, I have a thought. This makes sense, and try to stay with that. Unless there's something real compelling reason, just not switch my mind over and over again because the world is saying X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. All right, so for Washington in your final mock draft, which is available, Ben, if I'm reading this correctly, on just your website. This is not an official post for The Athletic. This is at benstandig.com only.
Yeah, I mean, The Athletic doesn't need me putting up a round one mock draft. I mean, we've got other people for that, so... So, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's not, yeah, so I basically for the Huddle Report contest, you have to put it somewhere.
Gotcha.
So I have my own website just
for the purpose of this. Okay.
So honestly, basically, yeah.
Yeah, so you have the Commanders at 29 taking Nick Skorton, the defensive end out of Texas A&M. I think he is absolutely someone who's going to have the Commanders tag. He's a very interesting prospect. He's got some real production in his past at Purdue, was asked to do some different stuff at Texas A&M after transferring. The sack production dropped, and we've, of course, heard a lot about the sack production of another Texas A&M and in Shamar Stewart. But I think what's interesting, Ben, is you still have Malachi Starks on the board with the Vikings taking him at 30 in a trade with Buffalo, who traded up to 24, which I think we just made that trade in our mock as well. Why did you ultimately decide Skorton at 29 with guys like Ezeraku and Stewart literally coming off the board in the previous two picks? Why take the leap on the next kind of bend down of pass rushers versus a guy in Malachi Starks who maybe is not as obvious of a fit, but I think a lot of people will have certainly ranked higher than Skorton?
Yeah, so to go back to your other question, like how do I process how do I do the mock draft? Like one thing I always do is I also go and do a full second round at least, because you got to see what's behind the first round in order to see where the fault lines are, you know, where the strengths, where the weaknesses are. Now, if the reality is, I would say the number one thing would be they want to trade down, right? That would be the number one thing. But I could just do that, but I've done that other times, but I didn't want to do that here. So I basically was like, look, I just think like if they're going to stay, you know, let's give them sort of the position I think they need the most. I actually think realistically, if they stay, it would make a lot of sense to not take an edge rusher because it is deeper with edge rushers than, say, corners and definitely offensive tackle if they wanted to go down that route. Those positions thin out a lot faster. So logically, it makes sense to say, to maximize value, skip edge at 29 and go backwards and take that later. And therefore, to your point, like a guy like Starks who could help, you know, give you an upgrade at safety would be good. And, you know, there's players at other positions, you know, Travion Henderson still on the board. I think he would make a lot of sense for Washington. He was sort of the alternate option for me. But I've just sort of stuck on Skorton this entire draft cycle. Once I sort of looked into him and, you know, figured out what he is, like you said, he really does sort of scream all the Commander vibes. And I just... again, to sort of go back to your question, I'm pretty good historically about taking my opinions out, and because I think this is a mistake a lot of people make. They study the players and then think, I know the player, so if I think this guy's good, therefore the team kind of should, and I'll put this guy here, even if that doesn't make sense. I'm not saying that Nick Skorton is the 29th best player or that he'll definitely go in the first round or anything, but in a year where everything is so chaotic and so... who knows what's going to happen, which is, again, I'm saying this is abnormal even for a draft. I've had a thought about this guy. I haven't wavered on it. I've noticed there's finally been more momentum lately in terms of people starting to recognize that he's a name that should be getting more conversation than he had been. So I just kind of stuck with my guns to a degree. Like I said, I mean, I'm the one who made the first right with Matt and Mock. I could have just had Donovan Azaraku slip back one spot. It would have been a fine pick. I think he's easily, you know, he's one of the two or three guys I think I would have, you know, the best odds, I would say, you know, if he's there, it would make a ton of sense. But, you know, I tried to be true to the board, and if he was gone, then I just felt like, if, you know, if I'm not going to have them trade down, I just liked what Skorton offered, and it just seemed to make a ton of sense. But, yeah, Starks would be fine. Josh Connerly, who I have slipping into the second round, the tackle from Oregon, you know, I think that would be another way to help Jaden Daniels. So I think all these things are possible, but I've just liked Skorton the whole time, and I just sort of decided to stick with it.
Ben Standig with us here on The Hoffman Show. Of course, you can read him at The Athletic and check out this mock draft at benstandig.com. And then Ben certainly hopes at the top of the national mock draft contest that they'll grade out by the end of the night. First round mock, who gets the most players right and how many bonus points for getting them to the right team. I'd be curious to double click kind of on Starks, but just conceptually on Starks here, Ben. Is there a position that you would be surprised that they took a player at outside of quarterback, long snapper, kicker, or punter? So in other words, if they take a safety, if they take a linebacker, let's say Jihad Campbell falls, which he does in your mock draft as well, and I'm starting to see that a little bit more, would you be surprised if they went in a not edge, corner, wide receiver, running back, these positions that everyone's tagging them with direction?
Honestly, no. I mean, look, I think they've got to come away with this draft with help, say, at the edge in particular. They've got to get younger. They've got to get more athletic. You know, I think offense could still use another guy, a playmaker, somebody with more speed, you know, give them a chance to make some bigger plays, things like that. But, you know, we saw them be willing to take sort of the best player available last year when they took Johnny Newton in the second round. And I kind of feel like they're in that boat again. Like, they – I'm not saying that every position is like ready to go and like this is a great group, but they have enough pretty much across the board at every spot to be like, all right, if you know, you can't address all your needs, and if we can't address our need at this position, you know, they have enough, but they can simultaneously almost everywhere get better. Like, it's not even for much debate, in my opinion. Even if you said a receiver, hey, you got McLaurin, Debo Samuel, Noah Brown, that should be good enough. All right, but, like, you know, Samuel and Noah Brown are both free agents after this year. So, like, what's the plan after that? You know, it isn't just the draft. It's obviously about short term, but also the long term. So, no, honestly, really nothing would surprise me. But, again, I think with only five picks, if that's the way they end up, if Peters doesn't get more, you know, I think you got to figure out a way to get some edge help, and then corner, receiver, running back, offensive line. Like, those would be the ones I would say next that, like, you know, if you're going more need, that they should look at.
So on the offensive line, the Brandon Coleman to guard talk doesn't seem to have died, even though Dan Quinn told you guys at the NFC coaches breakfast that he's going to play right tackle. As you've been, you know, asking around more, do you think that is like, is Brandon Coleman at right tackle the plan long term, or is it the plan for now? Because up to this point, they haven't had the, let's say, Josh Connerly or whoever falls to them, and they're like, that's the best player on our board. We're going to take him. He's going to play right tackle. Coleman kicks inside. Or should we be looking at this as like, no, Coleman's really their right tackle, and if they're going to look at O-line, it's probably going to be on the interior.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. I mean, I think Coleman is enough of, you know, there's not enough body of work, I think, to say he's anything. I mean, there were a lot of people who coming into the draft, his draft, thought he was a guard. I mean, when they took him to be the tackle, I mean, I would kind of almost bet that was like the underdog position around the league, as opposed to saying he's definitely a right tackle or definitely a tackle and they're going to play him a guard. So, you know, look, Nick Allegretti after this season, is he back? I don't know. He signed a 3-year deal. Oftentimes that last year, you know, kind of goes away. So they may be needing in position for guard by next year. And if they think there's somebody there at 29 that can do that, and then they leave Coleman at right tackle, sure, go ahead. I mean, it's the same. It's either, like, I don't want to say if Coleman's spot is just up for grabs, but, you know, it's only year two. If they just said, hey, we found a tackle, we're going here, Coleman, you're going to go inside, or, hey, we really like, whatever, Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama, or, you know, if there's somebody else there, you know, on day two or whatever, that they think could play guard, then leave Coleman at tackle. I don't think, he looks like he's an interesting, good player. I think we saw that last year, but, needs some more work. And now it's just a matter of how else do they kind of figure that out. But, tackle is just more valuable, but guards get paid a lot of money too these days. So I don't think it would be crazy either way.
Totally. It also depends on the quarterback. I think that I'm trying to remember which one's which. But Tom Brady was always like, actually, no, I think it was Brady on the inside was always like, hey, make sure that I'm protected up front. If it's coming off the edge, I'll deal with it. And then Mahomes, I think, kind of realized I'm the opposite. I need tackles. You guys need to figure out this tackle thing, because if it's up front and interior, I can see it. And if I can see it, I'm mobile enough to get the hell out of the way. And I kind of wonder how they're figuring that out with Jaden Daniels and this offense, how Bobby Johnson, how Cliff Kingsbury. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. Real quick, a couple more questions for Ben Standing based off his final mock draft, things he's hearing as we prepare for the first round of the draft tonight. Of course, coverage here on the Team 980 starts, it's kind of underway, but officially starts at 8. You have Kelvin Banks going 6 to the Raiders. That has gained a ton of steam over the last 24 to 48 hours. I talked to someone this morning, Ben, with another team that was like, I don't understand how that dude's not a top 5 pick in this draft. Loves him. What's changed with Kelvin Banks here where he is all of a sudden a top 10 pick in the minds of a lot of very plugged in people?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, whenever we hear about somebody rising up the boards, that is 95% of the time total garbage. It's just the public is catching up with what the team's already thinking. But by public, I include the national draft analysts that we talk about all the time and follow and so on. They're one or two people, and the NFL has, scores of scouts and others who've not only been, they get all the inside access, they've been studying these players forever. So they have a better feel. And, so much of the conversation that we all have, frankly, shaped by the Kuipers and the McShays and the Dane Bruglers, right? I mean, if they just completely reversed it and said X about a certain player, that would become part of the conversation. And at least if you go into studying on your own, you're starting with that premise, right? So in the case of Banks, early on, there was a lot of talk about, hey, some people think he's a guard. I think Dane, who does a great job for us, but I think Dane has him as a guard for us. So if you're viewing him as a guard, then thinking, well, wait, this guy could be a top 10 pick as a left tackle, that doesn't seem right. I mean, even Brandon Scherff, who had to switch to guard immediately, was being viewed as a right tackle. It wasn't being viewed as a left. So I don't think everybody was looking at Banks in that regard. Specifically for the Raiders, you're right, Banks has been a bit of a different story here. I've been looking at, I know Ashton Gentry, the running back from Boise State's been mentioned a lot. I constantly thought, nah, it made more sense to me to go offensive tackle and the kid Membu from Missouri. Yeah, sorry. He made more sense to me. Now, when you start to hear, Daniel Jeremiah saw made some point about how Banks played at Texas for Steve Sarkisian. Steve Sarkisian and Pete Carroll are tight. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so at that point, it's the little details like that that could make a difference. But, I've been sort of on the tackle aspect, and now it's just a matter of, which one. And Banks have been, for me, typically he's been sort of mid to late teens. But, again, that's because if you're telling me he's more of a guard, then that would make more sense. But if you think, hey, he's legit left tackle, then that's a whole different story. And, it is very, very hard to find offensive linemen these days. So I'm not surprised that if he's being viewed as a left tackle, he's going higher. But again, that's where the difference between just the public is catching up to what the teams actually think.
Last guy I'll ask you about, Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan, seems like he was a top 10 pick for most of the process. Now, as the information seems to catch up, he is falling dramatically down boards. Is there a chance he's available for Washington at 29?
Well, I mean, again, to go back to, I think, Daniel Jeremiah and maybe somebody else, they didn't even have him in the first round ultimately, which is, you've got to be being told something. I mean, like you said, Will Johnson was being touted. I always forget that Travis Hunter is an actual human being and not just some video game figure we're thinking about. So he's the top corner, but of the normal people, Will Johnson's often been mentioned as the top corner, with Miami being sort of a destination spot or certainly not getting out of the top, 20. And now he's out of the first round for some people. That's something's up. Now, the fact that he was dealing with injuries, he didn't do much of anything during most of this offseason, but he did do a private workout recently, but he skipped the 40. And I think that raised a lot of questions. Like, well, wait a minute. Are you afraid to show what your actual speed is? Is there concerns, you know, with your injury? Like, what's going on here? And, you know, he's had a lot of injuries in his career. I think that's probably been the biggest question for him. So, you know, if it's true that he's going to fall possibly even out of the first round, I mean, I guess then, A, he could be there for Washington, but then it's like, well, what is going on here? You know, if enough teams are really questioning the medicals, then, you know, I don't know why Washington would necessarily be an outlier. But, you know, look, I mean, he obviously is a good player, and sometimes these things are a mistake. You know, John Allen was supposed to be like a top five pick. He slid all the way to Washington at 17 because there were questions about his shoulders, and, you know, he's had some injuries when he was here, but that wasn't the issue. So
right.
These things are not always accurate. You know, Montez Sweat's another one, right? He slipped from top 10 all the way to the late first round because of questions about a possible heart issue, and, you know, well, as far as we know, and good if it's true, he's had no issues. So you never know where these things go. Sometimes it's nonsense and sometimes it's true. And, you know, Washington's going to have to do their homework. Hopefully they already have to figure out what makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing I'll say, too, about Washington in this scenario, one, obviously 29 is a very different gamble than 13 or 12 or whatever. The lower you are, the less of a risk it is. And also, when your head coach and general manager have the job security that Quinn and Peters have, you can take that kind of risk in part because you can be more conservative with how you use the guy. If Will Johnson needs to take the first half of next year to get acclimated and either be on PUP or, you know, work very slowly in, like, Dan Quinn and Adam Peters aren't being judged off of the first half of next year for their long-term futures job-wise. So that is something to keep in mind. There are always competing factors here. As Ben, I'm sure you hear all kinds of silly stuff during this time of year from agents, teams, et cetera. So appreciate you sharing as much as you can with us here. Anything else people should be looking for you beyond just working The Athletic tonight? You got a podcast. What should people look for from Ben Standing this weekend?
A lot of coffee drinking would be my guess.
That sounds about right. That's a normal day for you, though, Ben. You do drink a lot of coffee.
You know, writing, talking, all that fun stuff. I mean, look, I enjoy the draft process. I mean, it can be maddening for sure, but I enjoy the roster building aspect and what's the logic by what teams do or not. So, if you want to see me, you know, smile, this is about as good a time as any.
It's a fun time of year. Ben Standing, everybody, with us. Read his work at The Athletic and check out the Last Man Standing podcast. Ben, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Craig. See you.
All right, when we get back, it is Thursday at 5:30, and even though it's draft day, most of our content the last week has been on the NFL draft, so it feels like a good time for a special NFL draft edition of Never Read the Comments. So we'll do Never Read the Comments next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we stream live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Very pertinent to this segment. We're going to do a very special draft edition of Never Read the Comments in about 60 seconds. But first, Anthony, we have a first. We have a first in the history of our show. We've been streaming on YouTube for almost 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
And for most of that time, we've done the same thing in commercial breaks. Like, so for those of you watching on YouTube, like William McConnell, we don't play the commercials that we play on the radio during the YouTube stream. It's just not how we're set up for back-end business reasons. I don't need to get into it. Instead, on our YouTube stream, there is a music loop that we have gotten endless compliments for over time. People will tell us, yo, your commercial music slaps. And William said, if you're going to have these long-ass breaks, play some better music. And man, the army is after him in the YouTube comments.
Whoa.
This is torque music. This break music thumps in the Cadillac. The break music is the best. William did chime back in, says, just a little repetitive in my opinion. Look, William, I would love to have... Honestly, we tried when we first started streaming to have like some best of stuff in the commercial breaks. And the two people that you see on the screen right now, the two people that you hear if you're just listening to the show, this is our staff. There's two of us. We are hoping soon to add a third person. If we add a third person, I will make that person make commercial breaks with funny moments from the show that get changed out every once in a while. You'll probably get sick of the same funny moments, but at least they're funny. In the meantime, enjoy the twerk music, because this is what we're doing. Capiche?
Capash.
Let's read some comments. Anthony, that's your cue.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby.
Never read the comments.
All right, the comments come not necessarily from the live YouTube chat, although the chat is vibing right now. They come from where we cut up this here live 3, or in today's case, 4-hour radio program into pieces. We put it on the internet, at Craig Hoffman, at the Team 980, and then you leave your comments on it. And we have selected, just for today, a multitude of NFL draft-related comments. I also feel like I should tell people, Anthony, even though we're doing 4 hours today, I got more to do later. Your boy is going live on YouTube, at Craig Hoffman. I will be live during the Commanders pick. In fact, my guy Tony Squares and I have decided to go live starting at pick 20, which puts us on the clock before the Steelers pick, So we'll get the Shedeur Sanders drama, potentially, if he's still on the board there. And we get Tony's Packers at 23, presuming they haven't made a trade. And then obviously through the Commanders pick. Very shortly after the Commanders pick, we will move over to a different stream. Although if you're watching me live at Craig Hoffman, I do believe I can just automatically bump you over. So you can sit there with your Cheetos and wherever potato chips that you're eating and you don't have to touch a thing. And we'll transfer you over. And then Kevin Sheehan and I will be live immediately following the Commanders pick with a Take Command instant reaction show. And then Logan and I will go tomorrow morning, recap the pick in more depth, and preview rounds 2 and 3 for Friday. So that is the plan. That is the schedule. I hope to see everybody on YouTube. Go hit subscribe at Craig Hoffman. Of course, we also have live coverage here on the radio, and I do believe that show might be streaming as well on YouTube at the Team 980 from Linnell and Toby. Okay, to the comments. A Process 2403 says, I prefer the round one selection to have the commander tag versus swinging for the fences with a character issue / low floor, high ceiling type of player. If you're going to be risky, do it after the first round. Need to get as many rock-solid foundational players as possible to rebuild the structure of the roster post-Ron and the Martys. The first pick needs to be a hit and a surefire starter. I'm going to read the second comment in conjunction, although I do think it's worth saying you could have a low-floor, high-ceiling player that I think theoretically still has the commander tag. That is more about how you play. It's more about your competitiveness and your character than I think traits, whatever. Although maybe that gets a little convoluted because of some of that stuff. We'll get into it. But High Speed 30 says it's laughable to think that James Pierce Jr. Is off Washington's board. He's a top 10 talent that will be picked damn near second round. We'll see if Pierce is sitting on the board tonight, if Peters and Quinn will pass on their biggest need due to character concerns. I hope he's on the board just to see what they will do with none of the other first round edge rushers left on the board. I am telling you right now, that is exactly my prediction. James Pierce Jr. will be on the board. I think the rest of the edges, like the next best edge will be Nick Scorton, and they will pass on James Pierce Jr. I talked to someone this morning with a different team who, I don't want to quote them exactly, but let's just say they were not a James Pierce Jr. fan. Like, big time not a fan. Like, could not stand the kid. And I think a lot of teams feel that way. I know some people think this is smoke, and some people think specifically it's smoke coming from Philadelphia. I think that he genuinely rubbed everybody the wrong way in 2024. He got paid to stay at Tennessee. Their collective is weird. Tennessee is weird. Heupel's a terrible disciplinarian. They got weird stuff happening in their program, and I think that you are looking at a kid who is going to fall out of the first round. Now, someone might take a flyer because his 2023 tape is fantastic. And even in 2024, some of his numbers are still pretty darn good, and the tape isn't terrible. But he's a very acquired taste as a rusher. He's a high side rusher, one of these guys that just speeds around the edge. And you can do that in college because the offensive tackles aren't sophisticated enough or athletic enough to deal with it. You try to do that in the NFL, all you're going to do is just get washed right by the quarterback every single time. And so there is a style problem with him, a lack of like depth to his game, and the character is a gigantic red flag. I refuse to say like something like, I'll pay everybody listening a zillion dollars if the Commanders take James Pierce. I'm not doing wacky bits like that. I will be stunned if they take James Pierce. And here's my last piece of evidence. When you have questions about a guy, you often bring him in for a 30 visit. They didn't even bring him in. They know, to me that says, they know so concretely they don't want him, they didn't even bother bringing him in. So that's where I'm at on that. The other part of the first comment, though, is swinging for the fences with a character issue or low floor, high ceiling type of player. I think if you have the Commanders tag, your floor is automatically somewhere higher because you play hard. You're a competitor. And this, I've said this a bunch over the last 48 hours. So for those of you that have been listening faithfully all week, I appreciate you, and I'm sorry I'm going to say it again. This is the misunderstanding about Shamar Stewart. I'm also going to keep this short because I think this misunderstanding of Shamar Stewart is why he's not going to remotely be available for Washington. I don't think he gets out of the teens. They don't make athletes like Shamar Stewart, and Shamar Stewart plays really hard. He runs after the football. He is disruptive in the run game. He's disruptive as a pass rusher. His sack production is booty. Yes, that is 100% true. But Anthony, if I told you you could get a guy that consistently gets pressure, makes running backs stop their feet, and he hustles his face off, and he's 6'5", has a 40-inch vertical, an 11-foot broad jump, and ran a sub-1.6 10-yard split in his 40, would you be interested in the first round?
I'm sprinting to the podium, sir.
And that's why Shamar Stewart's not going to get into the 20s. Yes, the sack production is a huge deal, but it is an incomplete picture of who he is as a player. And teams at that position specifically bet on traits. So that's the final time, I think, that we'll do the Stewart Pierce thing, but that's where I'm at on the Stewart Pierce thing. D. Smith, 9045, says, my official pick at 29 would be Shamar Stewart, assuming he's there. Mitch, as in our chat with Mitch Tischler, he was commenting on that. Mitch is correct. We couldn't set an edge last year to save our lives, especially in the games that mattered, Philly. I think he'll come around as a pass rusher. His comp for me is Jadeveon Clowney, big physical edge setter that won't wow you with sacks, but is still a difference maker and has a ton of upside. I think that's a high end, potentially, because Jadeveon was more like Jadeveon had a ton of injuries in his career, but healthy, like that dude had double digit sacks a ton. Like he just never was, like he was so hyped because he was a number one overall pick and he made that play against Michigan that he never lived up to the hype. But if you draft Shamar Stewart, let's say he does fall to 29, and he turns into Jadeveon Clowney, but all for your team. I mean, Clowney, didn't he play like 15 years? He's still going.
He's still in the league. I don't know if he's at 15 just yet, but he's still playing.
He's 32 years old. He's played for 11 seasons. This will be season number 12 for him. He
staying in Carolina, right?
I believe, yeah. Didn't have a sack his rookie year because he only played in 4 games and he got hurt. But he had 4.5, 6, 9.5, 9, 3, 0, and he played the year in Tennessee. Played off the ball, like in a weird outside linebacker thing that year. 9, 2, 9.5, 5. Like, you get that guy in the right system, he's nearly a 10-sack guy. He's made 3 Pro Bowls. He was an AP All-Pro second-teamer his 3rd year in Houston. Like, I feel like there's a better version of his career from both an injury and a usage standpoint. He's a player that almost was, like, not... He didn't come into the league at the right time. So that's kind of, I like that. I mean, but he also could be Montez Sweat, could Shamar Stewart, in terms of athletic freakiness and kind of the type of edge setter and hustler that he is. I can't even read. I don't know what this screen name is. Someone says, GMs get in trouble all the time picking players with quote unquote upside, but don't have skills they should have learned in high school. If they taught something... if they could be taught something, don't you think their capable college coaches would have gotten the player straight? Planning on teaching folks things they already refuse to learn is a huge red flag for me. Here's what I would say. Anthony, how often do we think that coaches are bad at their jobs?
Some of them are.
Yes, fairly often. You can't be the fan that screams that every coach sucks and then be like, why can't the players... Look, I don't know what Texas A&M's tackling protocol is. It might be good, and maybe Shamar Stewart just hadn't figured it out. But I think something like tackling, like one, as a defensive lineman, it's, I won't say it's overrated, but like D-linemen miss tackles all the time. D-linemen, their number one thing is, can they be disruptive? Shamar Stewart can be disruptive. And by the way, I'll take it away from Shamar Stewart. Derek Harmon's another great example. That dude is a master at winning quickly and then whiffing on the running back. But he makes the running back stop his feet, slow down, the linebackers pursue, good play for Oregon. And that's ultimately his job. And if he makes the tackle, then his TFL numbers up through the roof. So that's the thing. It's like, if you're a linebacker and a safety and you can't tackle, that's a problem. If you're a corner, I want you to be able to tackle, but it's less of a big deal. If you're a D lineman, because often the game happens so quickly, as long as you can be disruptive, that is more important to me than the tackling stuff. And so One, I don't know about his learning style and how he learns. Two, I don't know the quality of coaching at Texas A&M. And three, it's a skill that I've got lower down potentially than a lot of other people.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Never read the comments here on the Hoffman Show. And this one, Anthony, this screen name I can read. It's from our pal, Spicy Pepperon.
Spicy Pepperon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I read it. And it's not Spicy Pepperon. Clearly, it's Spicy Pepperon.
Do they have the little...
No, but it should. It should have the little Italian, hey.
Uh-huh.
I always thought about reading this comment like in that cadence, and I decided not to, boys and girls. Spicy Pepperon says, I love that Ezeraku was able to develop such a diverse bag of pass rush moves before even getting to the pros while maintaining discipline and technique in the run game. He feels like a very high floor guy with a ton of potential. High floor, high ceiling. He played in the ACC, which... it's not like Mike Green getting 17 sacks in whatever the hell conference Marshall is, but it's not like he did it in the SEC. The other thing about Ezeraku, like I like Ezeraku quite a bit. His quickness is elite. That is a trait that we know Adam Peters, or I should say more accurately, we know that Dan Quinn really likes, a bursty get-off guy, and Ezeraku's testing numbers in that area are pretty darn good. Very, very quick change of direction. So that allows him to, you know, hit juke moves and things like that as a pass rusher, get, you know, swipe inside and have that be an effective move. The thing about Ezeraku, here's my only holdup. He didn't run at the combine. And if you're a fast guy and you're a lighter defensive end, the only reason you don't run is because you're slow. My guess is he was going to come in much slower on the 40 than you think for a guy that's got the other measurements that he's got. And I've talked to enough people, and I talked to Logan about this earlier today. I'll put his name on the record. And Logan and I mentioned this to Logan, that someone had mentioned to me that Ezeraku can't really run or it didn't run, to disprove that at the combine. And he goes, you know, that was one of the first things I wrote down on him. And then I kind of got lost in the other stuff. And in a division where your primary responsibility might be to chase Jalen Hurts as a pass rusher to finish, chasing Jalen Hurts is very different than chasing the rest of the pass rushers in the SEC or in the ACC. That is slightly concerning to me. At 29, if he's available and he's the best guy available, I might just say screw it. That might cause him to drop. But it's just food for thought, Anthony, on that front.
That is very concerning, Craig, if he can't necessarily run. But what we have seen on tape is interesting to me. So, I don't know, man. I think this is why they get paid to do what they do. And I think they're going to make the best decision for the team.
Yeah. This is kind of where I've landed in general with the draft is, sure, I literally told this to Logan earlier. We were talking before the show, and I just go, man, the more stuff I watch, the more guys that I read into, the more intel I get, the more I'm like, I don't care. Adam, whatever you say.
No, for real.
Literally, whatever you say, Adam, we're good. We'll be fine. I'll deal with... you tell me who to talk about, I'll talk about him tomorrow. Kevin Roll, 8299, says... Isoraku is a very similar size to Micah Parsons. The problem is Isoraku didn't run, and Micah ran a 4.3 something. They are very, very different athletes. Very, very different athletes. So, you know, if you want to say that about like Jahad Campbell and his build, but he did not, Micah is an athletic phenomenon. So I realize that everyone now is like, oh, who's the next Micah? The problem is searching for the next Micah. Like, I like Frankie Louvu a lot, but Frankie Louvu and Micah Parsons are very different players. And I don't know that, like, in the first round, you're taking Frankie necessarily, depending on how you want to use him. All right. Last but not least, Ronald Tillman, 173, says, a team in the position like the Commanders should concentrate on premium positions instead of best player available, regardless of position, because they have glaring needs at the two premium positions on defense, at edge, and corner. If Lattimore can't get back to the player he was, neither would be a reach. The only other position that should be considered at 29 is offensive tackle, because it's the only other premium position that would warrant a selection, in my opinion. The definition of premium positions is changing. Premium, we're talking in a literal sense in terms of what costs money in this league. Wide receiver, premium position. Interior defensive line, premium position. Guards are getting paid. Interior defensive line is getting paid. Guards are getting paid. Basically, everyone but safeties, and if your name's not Saquon, running backs are getting paid. But also, if you have a guy like Malachi Starks, who, if you're going by Logan's board, is the 10th best player in this draft or something like that, available at 29, they need a safety. Like, Will Harris is nice. You tell me my safety combination, though, is Malachi Starks and Quan Martin? Oh, we can have some fun with that. So I think beauty is in the eye of the beholder. They are in a position where best player available should truly mean that. If there is a guy that is truly a tier above the rest, take that guy. Don't think twice about it. If not, then you start getting the positional need, who fits your scheme best, who you're going to get the most out of, and what you need for your football team, not just in 2025, but I think this is important to remember too, and beyond. Last thing I'll say about the board and how it falls, and I wish I had this more front of mind when we were doing our mock in hour number one, and I'm glad Ben mentioned this, that he does this with his mock when we had him on to start this hour. You have to also think about what's available later. And if you're deciding between two positions and maybe the edge is slightly better than the wide receiver. Actually, let's go. The wide receiver is slightly better than the edge. No, I'll go the other way. The edge is slightly better than the wide receiver. But you feel like the next wide receiver that you're going to be able to get at 61 is way worse than the edge you'd be able to get 61. You need to think about that as a two-player combo. Which combo edge and wide receiver is better? The better one in round one, and then what in round two? So if it's Nick Scorton and Emeka Egbuka, you're like, oh, I'll take the edge. The edge is, even though Egbuka's better, we need the edge. Well, what if I could tell you could get Femi Oladejo from UCLA at 61, but if you take Egbuka, and they're all the wide receivers that you'd want at 61 are going to be gone, and you don't pick again till 128. And you decided those are the positions you want to attack. You take Egbuka, who's better, even though it's not a position of need, because you feel comfortable about the edges later, or whatever positions you want to throw together in that order. But you got to think about the full picture of the draft, not just what's in front of you at that very moment. And that is why these GMs spend so much time, and these scouting staff spend so much time getting ready. That is our final pre-draft edition of Never Read the Comments. When we get back, we go inside the Take Command War Room.